Well, hello there. Yep, this is Fish and Frank, and we had taken a few days to rest, relax, work on the house a little bit. We had a big Valentine's party, got to get ready for that, and, you know, a little small gathering of what, I think it was what, Captain Carl's with me today. What was there, 60, 80 people out there, something like that?
It was fun.
Yeah, I'm paying for it today, though.
Probably need a couple more days off, huh?
Yeah, I could actually use it not to have been here today. You know, I don't know why it is, but I go out and have a couple cocktails. The next morning, I wake up, and I feel great. Boy, I'm Godzilla. I can take on the world. And I'm like 99%. And every hour after that, I lose about 5.
Yeah. When you first wake up, you're ready to go, but
yeah,
it's downhill from there.
5-6 hours later, boy, I am just dragging it. I didn't even clean up this morning. I went down and took the... put the bottles off the pirate ship, set them down the bottom so the wind wouldn't blow them over, but that was about it. I picked up the palm tree. It was laid out of ground.
Oh.
Oh, man. It was a good time.
Oh, yes, it was. It always is.
So, anyway, yeah, we have pirate ship parties. Well, you know, pirate crew.
Yep.
Makes sense, right?
Yes, it does.
So, anyway, you have been fishing and fishing. You're doing one charter after the next after the next. And so how's it been going out there?
It's been going great. Actually, this past week has been a little tough because we've had that cold front and the full moon. So it has made it a little tough fishing.
Now, a lot of people don't understand. They think a full moon would actually make the fishing better, but it really doesn't.
At nighttime.
At nighttime, it's great.
Yep.
Because, I mean, we were out last night. It was 1 o'clock. Well, yeah, I shouldn't be saying that. But we were out pretty late last night.
Yeah.
It was bright, almost like daylight out last night.
Yep. It's so bright at nighttime, so the fish will feed at nighttime.
And so if you eat all night, you're probably not that interested in eating during the day.
I mean, like yesterday we were out. It was really slow till probably about 1 o'clock. And then 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock came around, the light switch turned, and fish started getting hungry again.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think they're feeding that last part of the night, and it's just boom, boom, boom. And then, you know, kind of like us, you know, 4 or 5 hours later, 6 hours later, all right, I'm ready for a meal again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, give it a little digestive system a chance to work.
Yep.
But, yeah, it's tough on the full moon nights. I always prefer to go late in the day. Because first thing in the morning, they're just all sitting up. Okay, I've been up all night.
It gets frustrating because they're there. You can see them. They're swimming all over. But they just won't eat.
So, you were catching fish. What were you using?
Mainly using shrimp on the Rockport Rattlers, of course. Those things are great. I put them under a bobber for trout. I throw them for snook with a shrimp. I've even started using pinfish on them lately. Live pinfish.
Really?
Yep.
Doing the old redfish Sunday thing where you stick the pinfish on the way
he just
keeps
sits
him down
in one spot and just flutters.
Flutters and makes all kinds of racket right there in that spot.
Well, he's when he's fluttering on that Rockport Rattler, that rattle's going nonstop as he's sitting there fluttering in one spot. And also, when he's sitting there in one spot, he also creates a whole bunch of sand because his tail's kicking up the sand and everything like that. So it creates and also causes a lot of traction to him.
So he's putting up a little cloud of dust, and you know, it's like the old, you know, Old West. Look, dust cloud.
Yep.
Okay, go get him.
Oh yeah,
yeah. So, but so you're using that Rockport more and more and more.
Oh, I'm using it more and more and more different ways. Every time I go out, I try it a different way. I haven't tried it offshore yet, but I'm going to try it offshore next time I go offshore.
Well, I think it'll be those 4-aught hooks, I think, will be strong enough to hold some of those nicer fish, but you really can't drop it down towards the bottom, though. That's the only problem because of the circle hook laws, which ought to be repealed. It's absolutely stupid.
Yep.
I mean, they finally repealed the one or two of the laws, and if they get around to pulling that stupid circle hook out, that would be great because... Yeah, what a pain. But anyway, I was just talking to a couple of people from the state. I said, don't listen to my radio show because you don't want to hear what I say about you. You know, they actually had me, you know, they sent me this paper I'm supposed to sign about. I won't say anything bad about the state. I signed all the rest of it, but I ain't signing that. If you're stupid, I'm sorry. I'm going to tell you that. I mean, everybody tells me when I'm dumb. You know, they come up, you know, Frank, you're an idiot. Yeah, well, I get that. You know, it happens to all of us.
Yes, it does.
But, anyway, so like tomorrow, I think the wind is supposed to finally back down tomorrow. They said today was going to be nice, but we knew it wasn't. Yeah. There was no way this was going to calm down. I mean, I don't get it. They get paid whether they're right or whether they're wrong. They should get minimum wage, and then every time you're right, get a bonus.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, I mean, if I was right as... If I was wrong as much as I'm telling people about where to go catch fish and what fish will be there and lures that work and all that, and I'm right more often than they are, and I don't get how they can still make money.
It's kind of funny. We know the weather better than the weather guys do.
Yeah, well, they don't rely on it to make money.
Yep.
You rely on it. If the weather's bad, you can't do a charter. You know, you got to know what bait, where the fish are going to be, all the rest of that stuff's just like us. We live and die by the weather.
Well,
and
me personally, I like it better when it's blowing.
Yeah, because there's nobody else out there. Nobody else is nuts enough to take that 20-foot boat crashing across 6-footers to get over there to fish. You know, yeah, you get a little wild side there with that. It works, though. It works. I mean, you go out, you catch the heck out of the fish. But anyway, so tomorrow they're talking about some nicer weather, but just being on the safe side, if you were going to go in the harbor, east side, west side, what are you thinking?
Actually, west and east side are both holding a lot of fish right now. I've been finding more fish down towards the Cape Hayes Point on the west wall. Better quality fish, bigger fish. There's a lot more rat reds and stuff up towards the Myakka Cutoff area, and like Trout Creek, there's a lot of rat reds up in there. There are some very good sheephead in those places holding up, though, right now.
All right. Well, this is Captain Carl. Why don't you tell them the name of your charter business and all that?
KB's Backcountry Charters. I've been down here at Fish and Franks for about 6-7 years almost. I run a 20-foot backcountry flats boat. I have a 225 Mercury on the back of it.
And all it needs is wings. If you put a nice foil on that polling platform of yours, you could probably take air with it.
Yeah, I don't go fast all the time though.
No, when you've got customers on the boat, you maintain a more real, maintain normal speeds. But
I mean, the only time I go fast is when I do it in tournaments. That's the only time I drive fast. If I have clients on the boat, I'm doing...
You borrowed 3,000. One of my boats, and it's a flat-out 30-35 mile an hour boat, and it would be nice to be a little faster going home, but when you got customers on it, it's...
I do tell you what, that boat floats in nothing, though.
It floats in less water than it runs in. If you get out there and you hit bottom, you hit the stop, and the boat will float up. I have 99% of the boats you'll ever be in, you run skinnier than you float.
Yeah,
so when you hit bottom, you're just done. With this one, you hit bottom, you stop the throttle, raise the motor, and you just float up.
Yeah.
It's like driving a big bobber.
That boat's great. I mean, there's so much room on those boats, those Carolina skiffs. I mean, you could literally walk around everywhere you want on it.
Yeah. I mean, well, that other one we're putting together, that one, empty as it is going to be nice. Yeah. We just got to figure out a way to put seats in it where it doesn't take out all the room. That's always the hard part. You gotta have a place to sit, but you still want a lot of walk around room. Think about doing it kind of like my boat, but just putting like 4 seats in front of the console side by side.
That's a good
idea. Bolting down 4 cap, you know, boat seats, bolting 4 of them right in front of the console, and that would pretty much solve that problem. You'd still be able to
have a walking room and,
you know, walk around the council and the seats. Wouldn't be that much.
Yep.
So I've been really thinking about doing that to it. Still trying to decide if I want to put the tower on it or not. I just haven't got that far yet.
It's got its advantages and disadvantages.
Yeah, I mean, we don't have a tower boat right now. It'd be nice to have one, but I don't know. Still trying to come up with that. I don't know if I want to slow it down. It's got a nice cruising speed now. And when you put a tower on a boat or a T-top or a big poling platform,
it knocks the speed down.
I mean, we bottom painted, so that took 3 to 5 miles an hour off. And then if you put a tower on, you're talking 8 miles an hour. You know, it takes it from 46 down to 36.
I mean, also when you're sitting there fishing, the wind will catch you and push you around a lot more too.
And they're big sails the way they are. Those big 24-foot boats. So I don't know. I'm gonna go back and forth on that tower bit yet. I'm still not convinced I want to do it. I think you are. You want the tower on there. I know Kale wants the tower on there, but and I know I'm outvoted. So I'm sure we'll have a tower on it. But anyway, getting back to the fishing, you're kind of calling the west side. K Captain Carl from KB Backcountry Charters. You're calling the west side a little better. East side, if you get back behind the islands, all the way up to the shoreline, and people, when they see the east side of the harbor, it's all keys. Mm-hmm. Those are not the shoreline. You got islands, and then more islands, and more islands, and more keys, and then way back in the back, there's the shore, the actual mainland. And there's a couple little creeks. They got a couple deep holes in them. But trying to find them, you need some water to get back there. Because even in my boat or your boat, it's tough to get back there.
Google Earth is a good way to find those places.
Yeah, it's still tricky, though.
But, I mean, if you see, if I'm on the east side, you will never see me fishing on the east side. Because just like you said, it's all those keys on the outside. I go as far back as I can to the shoreline, where there's solid shorelines and everything. On the west side, you'll see me fishing out over there because it's just one solid wall.
That's what makes the west side so much easier. I think the east side is so much more popular because an incoming tide, you get that beautiful clear water hits in from the Gulf, and it's a lot cleaner. The water's a lot nicer than on the west side of the harbor. But have you been up by Placida, Lemon Bay?
Placida, there's white bait still out there. I mean, that's the only place I'm finding white bait at right now is out there by Eldridge Boat Ramp.
But it's still tough to get because, I mean, you went out and spent how many hours for, four dozen pieces?
Yeah, I had a hard time one day catching bait out there, but there is some bait out there. And if you do get that bait and bring it into the harbor, this fish haven't seen it in a while, and they're going crazy over it.
Wow. I would have thought with the temperatures, have you seen a water temp lately?
I didn't check the temperature yesterday, no.
It's got to be in the mid-60s anyway.
Yeah.
Usually once it's that low, but now I've heard everything from mid-60 to 70, so I'm not really sure where it's at right now, but I know the Gulf is still a little cool.
Yep.
But we get a couple more degrees in the Gulf, lots of King Mackerel going to be here. It's going to be a great year in King Mackerel. We still got a lot of cobia.
Yep, a lot of cobia, a lot of mackerel running around the harbor over by Alligator Creek and Alligator Creek Reef.
Yeah, now this is February 15th today. It's Saturday. This coming Wednesday night, I think it's the 19th, we do have a few seats left. We're doing cobia seminar up at Luigi's, and it's reserve seating, 941-625-3888. That's 941-625-3888, the store number. Call and you can reserve your seats for the cobia thing. What you been doing on cobia this year?
Actually, we had two hooked up yesterday on the reef. They broke us off, though. They were pretty big.
So the cobia are still out there on the reef. Marker 5. The sandbars on both sides. That's why you guys want this tower boat. You want to go hunting for cobia.
So it makes it a lot easier.
It's going to cost me $1,000 to rig that damn boat. But, you know, we don't have a cobia tower boat. And
it makes a world of a difference when you're going for cobia. If you're up a little bit higher, you can see them and you can spot fish them. It makes it a lot easier.
Now, if you're out at the reef and it's kind of calm, the Cape Hayes Reef, the offshore reefs, the Alligator Creek Reef, any of the reefs, cobia like to hang out about the reefs. I think that's where they're feeding, and for some reason, they seem to want to spawn around them, too. But when you see, from a distance, you see a cobia, you're seeing the dorsal fin and the tail, and that's what you're actually spotting. You don't really see the fish till they get closer, the shadow in the water, and it always looks to me like a shark coming at me. But then you see the fin, the tail, and the tail is as tall as the fin.
Yep.
And you wouldn't think so because you'd think the tail would be underwater. But no, when they're cruising the surface, you get that little tail sticking up. Mm-hmm. You got the dorsal fin sticking up. Once you see it one time and then know what it is, you'll never mistake it again. Until you actually see it and then get to see the fish, it's hard to – you're not really going to know what it is that you're seeing. Mm-hmm. But once you do, it's seared into the brain.
It's great. I mean, they're probably one of the strong – we're so strong fish. They're excellent eating fish. But I mean,
like Kale says, that cobia has one purpose, to find its way into his stomach. That's the only, you know, it takes a lot of cobia to fill that up.
Yep.
I should say that, but it's true. I mean, you know, he needs to get a 40 pounder. that's lunch. Oh, sorry, Kale, but you know, couldn't help it. I know. I shouldn't have said that because the payback is going to be terrible on this. Maybe you won't listen to this one.
Yeah, hopefully.
But anyway, a lot of cobia around. What are you using for bait on the cobia?
I've been throwing a lot of artificial for the cobias. live targets, those hokey eels that we have, I've been throwing a lot of those. Actually, yesterday we lost 2 live targets, so that was $40 down the drain on 2 fish.
Oh, that hurts when you lose live targets on them. Oh, man. Yeah, I think, I got to tell you, I'd be probably throwing a rattle trap or a mirror lure.
Yeah,
or,
but I mean, those live targets, they're great. I mean, even for redfish or snook, they're excellent baits. I mean, they are pricey.
But, you know, you're talking anywhere from 12 to 20 bucks a lure. It's a lot of money, but to hook up and get that big Kobe on,
it's worth it.
I mean, that'll make your heart pump.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, it's amazing watching people get buck fever when that big old fish is in front of them, and you can't really let them cast. You know, you give him one shot, and he throws like 40 feet to the right, 40 feet to the left behind him, and you know, okay, here, let me get it for you and toss it in there. And because people think that of hunting and buck fever, but it happens all the time in fishing. Mm-hmm. It really does.
Yesterday we were sitting there, we were looking at, I mean, me and Josh Greer is another captain down here, we were both on these pile of fish that we have on the east wall, and they were giving us such a hard time yesterday. Josh left like an hour before I did. I sat there half a day trying to get them to eat. They wouldn't eat nothing. I finally told my guys that let's go catch some other fish. They actually didn't want to leave. They wanted to sit there and wait for them to start feeding. But I mean,
you
that
never
could
know
have,
when that's going to be though. You can only give it so long, and then you got to go chase something else. Yep. But you were out a long time yesterday.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we started. I mean, that's the first spot we went to. We went to the east wall on those big fish, and we sat there for half a day, literally, trying to get him to eat. We got one fish to bite. I mean, he was actually a keeper redfish. I mean, he was 25 inches. But all the rest of them that we were trying to get to eat, they were all way too big. I mean, they were all big trophy picture fish.
Well, that's fun. I mean, you can't ask for more than that.
No.
I mean, you know, everybody would like to have that slot fish to take home and have dinner. But if you're catching releasing 30, 34-inch, 36-inch redfish, that's amazing.
Well, just like the guys I had on the boat yesterday, they were all catch and release. They don't bring fish home. They're one of my regulars. I mean, that's great. I love people.
What'd they think about fishing out of the barge?
They liked it a lot more than my boat. I mean, there's a lot more room because they're a little bit older people. So it was a lot easier for them to walk around on your boat than my boat.
Yeah, well, I mean, you're welcome to it any time. That's
but, I mean,
no problem.
We sat there for half a day literally trying to get them to eat. And
you know what we got to do with that boat? We got to put the twin 115s back on it.
That would be nice.
The only problem is it doesn't draw. Adding, because when you put the twins on there, you got to add a little more fuel. Mm-hmm. So you're putting another 600 pounds in the back of that boat. It's not so skinny on the draft. With that light motor and everything, that's what makes it.
Yep.
If you got a push pole, you can take that boat through in 4-6 inches of water.
Literally. I mean, it'll float in nothing.
Yeah. The bigger it is, the more displacement, so the more it'll float up.
Wider, more buoyancy.
Yeah, you get more displacement, so it really changes the aspect of the boat. So when you got 400 pounds and, you know, you've got 8 by 20 feet of displacement, which is just flat, that's a lot different than 7 by 16.
Mine's not even 7 foot wide. Mine's a pretty narrow boat.
Yeah, but your boat is cool. I like your boat. But anyway, we got to stay on topic here. I guess anything else you've been hearing about? I hear a lot about a Spanish mackerel down here with Bridge, Lashley Park, all caught in popping corks.
Yep. I mean, Alligator Creek's holding a lot. We got quite a few there yesterday while we were sitting there trying to get cobia.
Out at the reef, got a lot of mackerel.
Yep.
And
throwing silver and gold spoons for them. I mean, of course, we have to have a metal leader on the front of it because you probably won't get them in unless you have a metal leader. They'll bite right through it.
Best thing to do is use black leaders.
Yes.
The more shiny it is, the more likely they are to hit the swivel. If you got a bright silver swivel on there, they're going to hit it.
Well, that's the thing. When you're reeling in on the mackerel, I mean, if you have something that's really shiny that's ahead of it, other mackerel are going to be going and snipping your line because they think it's a piece of food. That's how you get broke off most of the times.
So black swivels, black leader, and you get broke off a lot less. You get to keep your lures.
Mm-hmm.
Even at $3 a spoon, it can get expensive.
Yes, it does.
So, but yeah, we got mackerel there. I know there's been mackerel by Marker 5, Booker and Pass, a little bit of Gasparilla, some down by Redfish. Haven't heard anything from Ponderosa lately. Have you talked to Josh? Anybody been down
there? I haven't been down that way in about a month. That's actually my favorite place to fish down there. It's just so far away from where we live, but I mean, that place down there is great.
right before you go into Miserable Mile at Shoreline, I love snook fishing at Shoreline. And then the other place I like is up in the railroad trestle up there in Caloosahatchee. Take Maverick lures, rattle traps, and that, I mean...
The mouth of the Caloosahatchee, there's a little creek called Oyster Creek. That place is phenomenal if you could get in there. I mean, there's two entrances to get in, but it's very shallow to get in, and it's covered with oysters. You have to have a very shallow drafting boat to get in there. But once you get inside, it opens up literally like the Mayaca Cutoff, and it'll go from 1 foot to 8 foot troughs in there, come back up, and it's pretty cool fishing in there if you could get in there.
If you can get into it, that's always the key down here. Can you get there or not?
But yesterday after we left all those big fish and we were up towards Alligator Creek, we went down towards Pyre Harbor. We got a lot of trout down there. Just fishing the grass flats, about 2 to 3 foot of water. After we did that, then we went to the west side where I knew there was a lot of redfish that would eat. I haven't been having a problem with those redfish on the west wall down towards Cape Hayes. There's a lot of redfish holding up down there. One thing I will tell you, we're going to have to stay off them a little bit. You're going to have to make long casts. The water's so clear over there right now that if you're close, they will see you, and they literally will not eat.
Yeah, they'll sit there. They're not going to run off until you get real close to them. But if you're close enough to see them, you're too close to fish them.
I mean, one thing that I did notice, though, that those fish over there on that west wall, they're just cruising up and down that west wall right now. Instead of using your trolling motor and going up and down the shoreline moving all the time, anchor your boat and just cast out. Leave your bait sitting there because those fish are traveling up and down the wall, and they're going to come across your bait and just pick it up.
So it's better right now to let them find you than you try and find them.
Instead of casting and spooking a fish. And I mean, every time you cast that fish, they're going to hear that vibration and cast in the water.
So the pinfish on the Rockport Rattler, and just let them vibrate themselves on the bottom.
Yep. I've been using a lot of shrimp over there on that west wall. Shrimp on the Rockport Rattler is great. We've been getting snook, redfish, trout, and we've been catching a lot of drum over towards a PGI. Up towards like the bridge, there's a lot of drum right now.
Wow. Well, anything else you want to go over?
There actually is a lot of big sheep's head out there right now.
Really?
Yeah, we're catching a lot of like 20-inch sheep's head.
Wow.
Just look towards like all the oyster beds. That's where I'm finding all my sheep's head right now, is around all the oyster beds.
I got to go out and check some of the oyster beds because we're getting that mussel and these things that are growing. And we lost so many of our oyster beds here. And I think a lot of them are starting to come back, but I don't know if they're actual oysters. I think there's that mussel thing or whatever it is.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I have to check it out, but we do. They're starting to grow. There's starting to be more and more around.
And I think it's that non-native mussel, clam. I don't know what the other word for them is, but I don't really know if it's our old native oysters. But whatever they are, they seem to be bringing in lots of fish. And if they'll grow here and help clean the water back up, this would be great.
A lot of sheep's head have been holding up around them, so have the redfish. I mean, there's a lot of oyster beds starting to show up.
What people don't realize is the fish really are not there to eat the oysters that much, but they eat all the stuff that hides in the oyster bed. All those minnows and the crabs and
finger
and
mullet.
Everything hides in those oyster beds. It's natural cover for tiny prey. And they can escape predators. I mean, they just crawl down inside it.
Me, personally, whenever I go around an oyster bed, I usually have a net in my hand just because you're going to find a lot of blue claw crabs.
Dip net.
Yep, a dip net. I mean, those blue claw crab is my favorite bait for redfish and black drum. I'll throw that over anything any day.
Used to be one of the best snook baits. People used to throw that for big snook all the time.
Big snook,
yeah,
yes.
When you're looking for big snook, you know, take a put a hook on one side of the big blue crab and kind of crush the other side up a little bit with the take the pliers and just beat
crack
the other
it off
side
beat
up
it, yep.
And get it mushy on the one side and throw that out there, and those big snook love that.
But if I'm using them for redfish, what I do is I crack off all the legs to the last joint right next to the body, and then when you turn a crab upside down, he's got like a six pack on him. You split them in half, and then you peel off that outer shell. And how I hook it is I feed the hook right through that last joint right next to the body, and that crab won't come off of there.
Yeah.
You're going to have to be on the bottom, though. You can't. Don't put it on a float. You have to leave it in one spot so it sits. You want the fish to come to you.
Yep. Let them find it.
Use all the legs and the big claws as chum. Crack them up. Throw them in the water. Use the outer shell for chum. If fish are going to smell it, they stink.
Yeah.
They will come to you. I mean, most of the time when I'm using crabs, I catch big, big fish.
Well, sounds like a pretty good day. You've had a heck of a week. You've been doing a lot of charters. I know you got quite a few more. I know you got a couple days open. But if you're interested in hiring Carl and going out and see what all these big fish are about, because Carl is one of the best at finding these big fish. I mean, the oversized redfish, the big cobia and all that. He really does an excellent job. And you give Carl a call. Click his picture right next to this radio segment, and it'll take you at all his information. And there's a picture of Carl there, and the girls all like that one. So, yeah, I know. I could have probably picked a more sane picture of you, but I just get a kick out of that. Every time the girls all see it, they go, oh, cool. Hey, it's good to be young, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So, anyway, after a night at the pirate ship, how are you holding up?
Oh, I'm good. I didn't drink. I had to drive little Austin home, so.
So you were designated driver last night. I noticed you were being pretty good. The food was good.
Oh, I pigged out. That's the first, when I got back, that's the first place I went. I had probably three plates on top of one plate.
Well, that works.
Thank you to Luigi's for that.
Yeah, Luigi's did a great job catering that party. Mm-hmm. That was the sausage and peppers were outstanding. Oh. I mean, speaking of meat sauce, okay, it's good. It's better than I usually get at a banquet thing. Mm-hmm. Usually that you always have that same flavor. At least that was tasty. But boy, you put the sausage and peppers on that spaghetti. Oh my God, was that good? Yeah, I like that. You know, I like that the owner, Luigi, he likes to fish. And mm-hmm. Need a couple fishing poles. We need a little catering done. You know how that goes.
Yep.
So anyway, but I guess we're going to have to get out of here. We're pushing our time limits. But Captain Carl from KB Charters, just click on his picture. This is Fish and Frank over here, slightly hungover, trying to hold on to one topic, not doing very well in any of it. But I think I'm going to go get another cup of coffee and try and get through the rest of this night.
Yep.
But anyway, and we got another radio fishing coming up. We're going to get with Andrew. This is the last day of Fishing Franks. He's leaving the pirate crew going on. So we're going to try and get one in with Andrew. But in the meantime, from Captain Carl and Fishing Franks, thanks for listening. And you guys have a great time. I hope you got to spend the night at a pirate ship with a big heart, a big red heart.
There are pictures on Facebook.
Everybody gave me grief because I put together that big heart. I thought it was cool.
Well, it was you and Greg.
Yeah, well, poor Greg. I'm sitting there going, I want to make a big heart. He's going, you're nuts. Why are we going to? And we're arguing about how to put it together. We had a great time putting it together.
Yeah.
So anyway, guys, Fish and Frank, Captain Carl, and thanks, Greg, for helping me with the heart. Bye, y'all.